bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people, if you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth App.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. That's how I feel. It's Monday. It's been a long weekend. And so I got an article in the newspaper. And, I thought I'd read it. It's by someone I consider a friend, Tom Jens, and it's in the Shepherd Express, one of my favorite newspapers. I like to read it and chop it up and talk about it. And so if you haven't had a chance, make sure you go to, I don't even know if it's out yet. I mean, like it looks like it got released like not too long ago. So at 3:08, I printed it off. I saw my email. I said, oh, let me check this out. And it talks about, the title of it is Thinking About Milwaukee, a City of Two Neighborhoods. And so I liked the article and I didn't like the article. And so I sent Tom a text. Because unlike other people, you know, some people say, I don't want to blindside you. And then they blindside you, right? Or they say, well, I want to talk about something without looking at you or saying anything to you instead of saying like, hey, I want to talk about something you said or something you did or something you wrote. But anyway, I digress. So I went through the article and I read it a couple times and I sent Tom a text and I said, I'll be talking about your article today, some good, some bad, LOL, critical analysis. Now, before you scream and holler, I've lived here since 1993. And I think I've lived here long enough. And let me give you the exact. I've lived here for 32 years as of April 12th of this year. As of April 12th. So technically I've been here 11 years, 9 months, and some change. Well, no, as of tomorrow, as of 2 days from now, it'll be 11 years, 11 months. So I think I kind of know Milwaukee, even though people constantly remind me that I'm not from here. which is why I always mention Chicago and they get mad, which I don't really understand that. But anyway. Subtitle says it's impossible not to notice the stark contrast between, you ready? Whitefish Bay and Central City. So my question, using buzzwords, Central City, is that the black neighborhood? Okay. And me and Tom are cool. We have coffee every few months or so. So this isn't a bashing or anything like that, just so you all know. So don't get off. It starts out one Saturday morning a while ago. I decided to explore two neighborhoods on foot, starting in Whitefish Bay, the charming village that borders Lake Michigan. The street here seemed pulled from a postcard, and he goes on with this flowery, you know, description. 85% of Whitefish Bay residents are white, most upper middle class, and they, you know, ran into people, how you doing, how you like living in Whitefish Bay, that kind of stuff. He made note of saying, in Whitefish Bay, most people earn their living in professional jobs, including management, healthcare, sales, business, and the law. According to village data for 2024, the average household income, got it? The average household income in Whitefish Bay is $208,063. According to Redfin, the average cost for a house is $531,000 in December of 2024, and most residents own homes. He said, 15 minutes later, I was walking streets in the heart of the predominantly black inner city, something I hate to use, inner city, because that's like code for black. Sidewalks were cracked and uneven, curbs broken, alleys pockmarked with debris. Once the pride of European immigrant families of past generations, colonial revival houses show their age with peeling paint, sagging sides, and swayback porches. Some homes were carefully maintained, others abandoned, standing as reminders of what history can do when a city turns its back. Here and there are makeshift memorials for the deceased victims of gun violence or car crashes, stuffed animals, framed photos, candles, and personal memorabilia. Yet here the atmosphere showed energy. So he compared Whitefish Bay and said that, you know, they had all the pretty plants and lounge chairs quietly on porches, and the absence of children on the sidewalk felt odd. I only glimpsed them in backyards. Noise beyond the occasional passing car was slim to none. Black Lives Matter signs were absent, George Floyd having faded away. I find it interesting that he found, you know, the kids were waving back to him and laughter and kids running back and forth and playing and having fun. Churches dotted certain corners, mostly Baptist, their steeples reaching skyward as if seeking peace for the community below. He asked the question, what does it mean to grow up white versus black in Milwaukee? Well, first, I think that's a loaded question, because what does that mean? So going back, in the black community, Whitefish Bay is known as White Folks Bay. So everybody here calls it White Folks Bay. Number two, Tom, why didn't you compare it to, say, the Northwest Side, where there is a number of black people living in upper middle class housing? I just wonder. And the carefully curated idea of safety, satisfaction, and hope I'd seen earlier in Whitefish Bay felt like an untenable dream here, where the high school graduation rate is 60%, where the community might be classified as a food desert, healthy food choices miles away, where the poverty rate is nearly 32%, Walmart and Target are out of range, and in the city, there are 3,000 city-owned vacant lots and hundreds of vacant homes. Most show their seclusion in the central city. Well, I think if you had stratified this by income, I think you might have had a different story when you compared neighborhoods that were predominantly black, because there are some predominantly black, middle class, and in some cases, upper middle class neighborhoods here in the city of Milwaukee. And so he talked to And so I wish he had spoken to more people from Whitefish Bay, but he spoke to black activist Tracy Dent And while I've known Tracy for a while, he doesn't represent all black people. He's just one person. He spoke to Chantel Carson, longtime inner city resident. Tragically, violence has touched her own extended family in the last several years. She's lost five close relatives to murder in four separate instances. I feel for her. And I think that for many residents in the city of Milwaukee, that is a personal, ever-present fact. He talked to Vaughn Mays, Ed Hennings. But here's my question. Where are all the other middle-class and upper-middle-class people that live in Sherman Park and the North in the Northwest Side? Where are they? I think it's unfair to compare Whitefish Bay to the inner city. Why didn't you compare it to Brown Deer? It's a significant number, and I don't know the exact numbers. It's a significant number of black people that live, thrive, work, run, and administer Brown Deer, the city of Brown Deer. I wonder. WTMJ-TV black news reporter Gideon Verdon Williams lives in the inner city. He heads Clean Up Milwaukee, a block-by-block cleanup undertaken by the residents. See, again, this is me speaking. I'm only speaking for me. Whatever happened to the city doing what they're supposed to do? Well, he said Mayor Cavalier Johnson once told him, "I spent my formative years in neighborhoods well known for poverty, violence, and incarceration as a teenager in zip code 53206. That just drives me crazy. Like, I don't, anyway. I'd walk North Avenue and think this is dangerous. Buildings boarded up, windows busted, and the businesses that are open aren't run by black people. As a young black man, that experience seeps into your psyche." County Executive David Crowley started off behind the eight ball. Until age 10, he and his brothers were raised in an old house on 23rd and Burleigh. A master electrician, his father had paid the city $1 for the house and made repairs. Both his parents struggled from drug addiction. And so the issue I'm having with this article is that when you find black people to talk about, it's always negative. As if every black person in the world struggled with poverty and shooting and gangs. And while a good number did, there's a significant number that didn't. You compare things between the two, like family structure, and much of those things were destroyed by the federal government. Many of the things that are happening today is because of the federal government, not Donald Trump's federal government, a Democratic government under Kennedy and Lyndon Baines Johnson. So what are we talking about? I don't understand. Values, traditional values, generally oppose divorce, same-sex marriage, and marital cohabitation, all threats to the family structure. A feel-good family movie often illustrates this paradigm. A married heterosexual couple, happy children, dog, living in a suburban cul-de-sac. And that's because we are not in control of the narrative of America. Honesty, fidelity, faith, work ethic, parental authority, religion in your daily life. Those are things that are in many of the black families that I know. And I'm pretty sure you'll find significant dysfunction in Whitefish Bay. And it's like there are two extremes that are getting compared, which is unfair, I believe. It's unfair. He said, "History forms cultures. I thought back to my recent visit to America's Black Holocaust Museum on North Avenue. There I saw a huge display that divided three time periods in a kind of vast pie chart. Slavery, 1619 to 1863. Jim Crow, 1863 to 1965. Civil rights, 1965 to the present. To comprehend the reality that one human group had to spend 250 years as slaves." Well, and then it goes on and it didn't print out for the rest of that sentence. White families often live the nuclear model. Fathers as breadwinners, mothers handling childcare even when employed. Children are raised to value independence. Urban black families, however, often rely on extended family and community networks. Some do, many don't. The majority of the people that I know, that I hang out with, because we all hang out with people in our own social strata and in our own economic strata, have children, mothers handle childcare even when they're employed. They also rely on extended family, community networks, and some of the single-parent households, they have good jobs, they're raising great kids, even though often they're led by mothers, and more common with grandparents, cousins, and aunts and uncles providing support. But isn't that what we're supposed to do? So when you compare those values, some things are just different. And it's okay. It's okay. But the question I have is there anything wrong with this? Is there anything wrong? In mainstream America, these are societal perceptions. Traditional white families are often idealized as symbols of stability. Urban black families are frequently subject to negative stereotypes and misconceptions. But I'm seeing some of this in this article. Even though it might be true, I don't think it's broad enough. Family structures that deviate from the traditional nuclear model are often pathologized, perpetuating harmful biases and ignoring the systemic inequalities that form racial bias. Well, people form racial bias. They decide to be racially biased. Just look at, and I'm going to talk about it in the next segment, the DEI. I'm going to tell you about an experience I had the other day when I spoke up and said something and the reaction people had to a sweatshirt that I had on. But he said the denouement has not been resolved. Family life can look different depending on history, society, and money. We've always known that. Research from the University of Milwaukee, UWM, shows that the city of Milwaukee has the highest poverty rate in the state. It also has the highest population, high unemployment for black men and major education gaps, the largest number of black people in the state of Wisconsin. And on top of that, only 25%, and then it goes on and it cuts off the whole thing. I guess they want me to read it in the newspaper. He ends the article by saying this, yet all these struggles are not about personal choices or culture, yet many of them are. And a granular look is going to show that as well. On both sides, getting a hand up and a leg up in a white community is different from a black community. Getting a leg up and a hand up when your parents have it and your parents and your grandparents have it and your great-great-parents have it is different from when many of the people that are upper middle class today are first generation. He went on to say they come from years of discrimination and unfair systems. Can community life in America evolve into compatibility? Milwaukee is a beautiful city, I agree, and a safe place to live, I agree, depending on the color of your skin. I agree and disagree. Have we not evolved? Or maybe is it not possible for one culture to fully understand another culture? Here's my question. Do we have to understand other people's culture? Black people have spent 250, 300, 400, how many years kowtowing to white culture? We have to talk the way you think we need to talk. We need to act the way you think we need to act. And now with DEI making a downward spiral, I'm starting to see white people act in a way that I haven't seen before, that now their racism and bias is overt. Once they thought they were better because they were white, they walk around like they know they're better because they're white. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a conversation I had, a very short, terse conversation I had with three white guys in Germantown. And just like this article, and thank you, Tom, and we got to get Tom in. Got to get Tom in to talk about this article and talk about other things. We always have great conversations. And while we talk about this, I look at this article. I look at my conversation in Germantown, and I look at how now black and white people are interfacing. And honestly, I think this idea of understanding each other's culture and living together and singing Kumbaya, you know what that is? It's a beautiful lie.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
The pearl in my hand with a heavy dose of adrenaline, call me a chemical man. I'm not a shy girl, I'm a wizard. Do I have to say it again? I'm like a mystic stuck on a gumball. Decorate me with the stars, yeah, I wanna fly.
Listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. So, I was in Germantown, and I'm watching at a sports place. I'm watching this. I think I was watching golf, right? Let me put my chair down a little bit. And so I was watching golf, and that Scotty Strickler, Haka Haka Puka, whatever the heck is there. I don't even want to know. Don't even correct me, because I don't even like him. And so this is the guy that was driving the car and trying to get to the golf thing and hit the cop with his car and wouldn't listen and all that, and then ended up getting arrested, right? And then they didn't press charges against him. And so I said, oh, is Scotty whoever his name? Oh, yeah, he's playing. I'm like, I'm not watching it. I'm a go over here because – I think he's an idiot, and I don't think he should. Well, why do you think that? One of the white guys spoke up, right? And it was two white guys there. And I've seen him before and spoke to him. Well, I had a sweatshirt on that said African American Museum of History and Life and whatever, you know, the museum in D.C. And he looked at my – now, this is before I said something. He looked at my sweatshirt and went, huh. And I almost said, huh, what? You got a problem with black people, or you just got a problem with the museum? Which is it? Right? Because white people have become bold now that they think, oh, we don't have to follow DEI. Well, your employee resource group, boop, your ERG, we're just going to cancel it. Well, did you really mean it in the first place? So all these places that tell you, we want you to be yourself when you come to work, but you really can't be yourself when you come to work, because for you to be yourself and black, you got to act like me. And so I'm sitting here, and I said, oh, Scotty? He said, well, why don't you like him? I said, he should be in jail. He should be a convicted felon. He battered a police officer. No, he didn't. Yeah, he did. He apologized for it. He battered a police officer because he was late for a golf game. And you and I both know if it was a black guy, you know that basketball player in Milwaukee that y'all all said he did all these wrong things until you saw the video and found out he really didn't do anything wrong. Some white cops just jacked him up when they weren't supposed to and harassed him when they weren't supposed to. But again, when a black person is accused of doing something, we are held to a strict standard. Liability, crime, anything civil, you got to be perfect or they get rid of you. It happens in jobs. It happens in school. It happens in a community. So why is that? What is it? And then we compare rich upper class white to, quote unquote, black inner city black, and the two you pick, it's a boatload of black white folks that's poor in Milwaukee. Talk to them. It's a boatload of white folks that are lower middle class, some with no teeth in Milwaukee. Why don't you go talk to them? See how they feel. Because I worked a lot with them on the south side of Milwaukee and a lot of them on the north side, too. But the media perpetuates that. The media will avoid talking to a white person and talk to the worst dressed, speaking, talking black person because in their mind, that is what represents black people. I've never had the media come talk to me unless it was for a specific thing. But I've never been at a crime scene like that. I was usually working it. They never seem to find the articulate black person. They find the person they think is going to represent black people, and it's never positive. Anytime you get a TV station like WISN, all of them is done. I'm not going to call WISN because I got friends that work over there, and they're a great station. Phenomenal station. But when you got TV stations that talk about fire safety in Milwaukee and they go to freaking Wauwatosa to talk to the fire department, what kind of idiocy is that? They are setting it up that they do not want you knowing or doing anything in Milwaukee. All their sponsors are from the suburbs. All their viewers are from the suburbs. They give weather updates for Belgium, Wisconsin. Are you kidding me? Mayville. So, I get it. But until black people come in and start to control that narrative and run their own TV, start your own TV station. Let's get a black station here owned by Byron Allen and watch that. And if you can't, you get something like what? A Good Karma Brands, where Craig Kermison decides that I'm going to give a voice to people I perceive to not have a voice, an authentic voice, not a voice you have to follow because you got to vote this way. If you don't live here, if you don't do that, if you don't have here, you're not black. If you look at diversity, at the truth, you actually have diversity. I get accused of being a Republican. Sherwin gets accused of being a Democrat, and everybody else is in between on the other side. I try to beat people up equally. And by the way, we need to get the woman that's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. We need to get her on, and we need to get Brad Schimmel on. So we can start asking them about DEI. Start asking them. Now, I'm not necessarily for 100% DEI. And all the white people that kept complaining about DEI kept talking about they have issues with equity, right? And so we just don't want equal outcomes. You mean you want white people to always be in first place? Is that what I'm hearing? I think equity, you know, they want equity and outcomes. But why not? If you live in a house in a neighborhood, I should be able to live in a house in a neighborhood. That's equity and outcome. I should be able to buy what you buy. I should be able to live where you live. I should be able to go to school where you go to school. That's equity and outcome. How I learn, how I work, how I grow, how I take care of it is on me. But when we talk about equity, we don't want anything you have at all. I don't want to dress like you. I don't want my hair to be like you. I don't want my face to be like you. I don't want my glasses to be like you. I don't want my house to be like you. I want it to be like me. I want it to reflect me, my culture, my upbringing, my life. Because I know the majority of you didn't grow up with a silver spoon in your mouth. You grew up and struggled and your parents threw you out the house at 18. And those are some of the reasons why you excel. Those are some of the things black parents didn't do and why sometimes their children don't excel. Because they feel like they have to give them a help because nobody helped them. Say what? Yes, but and so it's just disturbing. Like at some point you just check out. But then the flip side to that we'll talk about after the break. 833-212-1017 is the number. Your thoughts. The flip side to that is many times you do things black and it don't really turn out. The quality's not there. But again, you know what I think that comes down to? Black people not being supportive and black people not being patient when black people do things. They expect perfection from each other, and that's a problem. I watch white people help each other on the sly, funnel money and co-own everything on the sly, but they'll never tell you they help build it, help own it. It'll be like one person. Oh, yeah, it's my. And it's not. It's like six people, seven people, eight people invest it, and they let the person do their thing. Black people need to start doing that. We need to start helping each other build our own businesses. And I'm not saying separatism. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I shouldn't have to understand your culture. Unfortunately, I grew up in America where all the books inculcated things in me that I can't very well get out because it's been over 60 years. Loving America, downplaying slavery, pretending like riots didn't happen, all that. And now, with the death of DEI as a policy, they're going to whitewash books like you would not believe. Therefore, we need to write them, write our own. And if you can't get them in the schools, get them into the houses. Start to create a list, like I've started, of books that black people need to read. By the time they're 30, they need to read these books so they understand exactly what the world is like. Otherwise, we're going to continue having what? A beautiful lie.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Talking text line. Dr. Ken. I'm sorry, it says, hey, Dr. Ken from Good Life. What's the name of the artist who was playing back from commercial break? I happen to like your taste in music as well as our program, your program content. Let me see. I got to check my Spotify because I have a special Spotify like list that I use. And every time I hear a song I like, I just throw it in there. And the crack jack effervescent producer will just boop, pop it in. It's by Dora Jar, D-O-R-A-J-A-R, and it's called Wizard. A Wizard. Yep, it's called Wizard. W-I-Z-A-R-D. So anyway, 833-212-1017 is the number. Mari said, Dr. Ken, can you please direct me to your book list you talked about? I got to dig it out, but I do have, well, you know what? While I'm sitting here, I love live radio. Let's do this. Let me see if I can see if I can look for my book list. Let's see. Not bookist. L-I-S-T. And if I don't have it on this computer, I have it in the cloud because I'm, you know, one of those weird people that pretty much collects and keeps everything. And that's one thing I love about it. But it's important to remember that there are books. And how many books should I get? 30 for 30? 30 books that you should read by the time you're 30? Yeah, let's do that. Because if it takes you more than 2 months, 3 months to read a book, we gotta go back to school. I'm just saying. I got like 180 to 100 and something books on a list. And I think what I might do is just throw it in the talking text, and then I'll give you a keyword. And if you want a copy of the list in PDF, you can just send the keyword and it'll shoot it to you by text. We'll have to do that. So maybe in the next break I'll look for it, and then I'll find it and do that. It just disturbs me. Some of the things that are starting to happen, we're not going anywhere. Black people are not going anywhere. We're going to use the same Constitution to help us that you use to hurt us. The same 5th, 6th, and 14th Amendments we're going to use in our stead. So that if we're actually American citizens, which we are, then it's going to work for us too, which means we need to make the system work for us. Because right now the system is built on money. And when you're middle class and upper middle class, many of the things that affect black people on a regular basis does not affect us. And that's just the way it is. This nonsense of telling people, and yes, I said it's nonsense, this nonsense of telling people they don't need to go to college is idiotic. Go into the trades and then go to college. Get the degree in business. Get the 2-year degree in business. Go to college. Because that will be the last bastion of holding people back. They'll flip back to, oh, you need a college degree. And by then it'll be too late. Black men are already late starters. I am a perfect example of being a late starter. If you got any comments, 833-212-1017. I'm an example of a late starter. Went to college, transferred schools, ended up taking 6 years to graduate from college. I didn't care because I got out of the city of Chicago. I watched all of my best friends. There were, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4. There were like 5 or 6 of us that we all hung out, right? With the exception of one, me, none of them graduated from college. Not a one. They dropped out, started, you know, playing table tennis, not going to class. And I said, you know what? If I stay at this commuter school, University of Illinois, Chicago, there are too many things between waking up and getting to school. Because if I go, I need to stay all day because I got class. But on those days when you only had one class and it was at 11 o'clock and you had to get there and you were late all the time because you had to wait on the bus and take the L, and I saw the writing. And it was when I had to take a class because did I fail a class? No, I didn't take the class and I had to take it in summer school. And it was the last summer before I transferred to Illinois State. And I said, never again. I remember because it was trigonometry. And people thought I was crazy. You took a trigonometry class? Why are you taking trigonometry class? Because I loved physics. And trigonometry and geometry was tied in to physics. And I absolutely loved it. And I ended up passing the class. Did fairly well in the class. But you know the best thing that I did? I left. I got on the train, rented a car, and went to Illinois State. Best thing I ever did in my life. I got out of the environment that I was in so that I can focus and work and go to class. And that's what I did, and I graduated. At 24 with a bachelor's degree. Not 22. So you're already behind the cut. And then you what? And then you what? And then you go work. Then you change careers. Then you go back and get a second bachelor's and a master's and a PhD. And so I didn't get my PhD till I was 50, 51 years old. 40? I'm trying to remember. Anyway. Think about that. We're just trying to get you to speed it up to do it all now. Talking text line. That one guy said, good evening, Dr. Harris, Dr. Ken Harris. Good evening, Truth. I'm a dropout. I didn't make the cut. That doesn't mean you didn't make the cut. You didn't make it in the right place. Somebody said, oh, we talking about trig? I should head out. Stop. I only tried for nursing. That doesn't mean you couldn't make it. That means you may not have been at the right school. You may not have been at a school. Like, I know schools that the line is so high, they make it difficult for black people to make it because there are no black people there. They're not teaching there, and they're not in school there. We all know the reason why many times white people thrive is because everywhere they go, there are white people there. So they never feel not supported. They never see anybody that doesn't not look like them. But black people are the same way. So I would say if you're going to change and nursing was your drive, see, I'm wired like this. No matter what, if it was my drive and I started it, I got to finish it. I failed at very few things because I refused to give up. Now, I might have ditched it after I got it. I might have ditched it after I was done. But something in me is wired that if you're going to start this, you need to finish it. You need to have it so that you can attach it to whatever it is that you're doing so you can move forward. And you have to have that tenacity. You have to have that drive. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. That one guy said, I didn't pursue, but I am a successful landscaper. Then go to school for, what is it? What's the ergo something that you go to school for to be a landscaping and grass and all that stuff? Be the best person you can possibly be at what you do. Make people think about you when you do it. Oh, yeah, him, that thing. Because bottom line, if you're going to be held to a higher standard and if you're going to be held to perfection, you may as well meet it. Because I'm going to tell you, when you win and you get it and you're successful, you know what you're going to find out? You don't need nobody else.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. So, everybody want to know about the book list. All right, I'm looking it up. Give it, brother, break. I'm talking. Let me be typing while I'm talking. Let me just look it up because y'all going to drive me cray-cray until I find it. Y'all know how y'all get. 833-212-1017 is the number. So, let me see. Let me look. Unfortunately, I got to look at my OneDrive because it's gonna take forever to find it. Because let me see, book list, search. So now we got to sit here and wait on live radio while. Da, 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 da. All right. I got a book list from a few years ago. I probably need to update it. But let's do this. Do, 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 do. Okay. Let's see. How many are even on here? Look like it's about 100. Like it's about 100 books. And so, okay, so here's my question to you. Do the books have to be all black? Or can there be some books that I think you should read that are not written by black people? That's what I want to know. That's just me. So what I'll do is the books that I have, and it's not updated. So do you want the old one, and then I update it, or you want me to wait till it's updated? 833-212-1017. Shoot me a text and let me know which one. Because if that's the case, then I'll just shoot you the one that I have. I'll put that out. And then when I update it, I'll just do that. Cool? I think it'll be cool. Because then I can just upload it, put it in there, and then all you have to do is look at it and go, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. That'd be cool. Right?